not communication, but communion. It is wordless, it's beyond speech, beyond concepts. We are already one with God. We imagine. And I put that up there because that's how I feel about theology. It's my life. God that may have most of them. So, these are beautiful questions I have. How about if I go through a few of these, and then I'll take questions from Psalms. Is it possible to speak or state a response prior to the sleep? Think liturgically, like we do that in daily mass, we don't sing a response. We actually recite that, so that's often a good option. And once again, there are different ways. Fortunately, we have great standards in the world here in this church. So we don't normally sing the response, but maybe, I don't know, have you ever been during Lent? Sometimes we recite, churches like to recite during Lent. I don't know. And the Mass, just to said like it is in most every other Catholic church, no changes. Okay? Well, I think if you go to churches around the world, around the diocese, around the country, there are different adaptations, okay, because of the situations. And so I think we have to be, even though there's a two-tieristic church teaching, there's the official church teaching, and now we have to apply that to our lives. Our liturgical life. And somebody asked, I saw a question about the deacon. Deacon Mike's here. About the deacon singing the response of the mystery of faith. Well, the deacon used to sing that, right? And then with the liturgical changes, that was taken away from him. Why did the deacon used to sing? You know, Mike?
Historically, anything that invited back to the point.
presence in the tabernacle, but my attention shifts in a subtle way to the real presence which you just received, which I just received. So, what's for you? That's how it says. Idea of doctrine of mortality. These are all good questions. If not, why not? If someone dies in a state of mortal sin, are they at the risk of eternity in hell? Very important question. Very good question. And if I in any way try, I'm trying to answer the question the best I can. Why? How could anyone say that someone is in a mortal sin? yourself, by nature, absolutely, we do it all the time. But I don't believe that missing sin, missing Mass, is a sin. I've done it myself. When I was on vacation, I don't play golf anymore, now I got a real job. But I used to play golf, I used to go to golf tournaments, and if I was gone on the weekend, I was playing at 8 o'clock of time. And the other sin, I don't mean to be smart about this, but we're all adults here. The other sin, which is a sin that people think this, people think that masturbation is a mortal sin. So, we all know about the developmental life. We all know about psychosexual maturity. Solitary act at home, they think they cut themselves off from the life of God. Okay, let's think about that. Every priest should do an hour of adoration a day. Do I, you Father, are you devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary? That is a great question. Every question is great, so I don't know. Am I really projecting my own inner anger? press.
Oh, my God.
One invisible. And doesn't mean a lowly, submissive person. She's talking about God will lift up the oppressed. God will lift up those invisible. And so when I look to Mary, I see the honor women that she was part of. She was part of the oppressed. She knew what it was to be poor. And so she, talking about that, here is listening to every single word of the Eucharistic prayer, and we're praying for Linus and Clement and Sixtus and Cornelius, and we think about it more now. But I'm not. I just think the shortest one's the best. Well, that's why I pick it most of the time. I think the other stuff gets wordy. I'm not sure. Here's another great, this is the best question so far. What is the coincidence of opposites? Right? The coincidence of opposites. So we have two opposites. We talk about dualistic thinking. Well, probably the best one is Rumi, right? There's a field on the left, and there's a field on the right. Let's meet in the middle. And I like to say, everything I say is true, and so is the opposite. That's the coincidence of opposites. And it's true. God is all-powerful. True. God is humble, powerless. True. The coincidence of opposites. It's all true. It's all good. Right? In our theology, it's that way. You know, we can approach God from a father image, and we can approach God from a mother image. Not more right than the other. They both come together. You're always in church before I get all the mythic mythology. mass. I'm distracted at mass all the time. How can obvious sins miss mass? Well, I'd have to say that how many Catholics are in the world? 1 billion. I bet 70% miss mass on Sunday. Am I better than them? Mass is an opportunity for us to celebrate the love of God. And I think, for myself, it's a great spiritual practice that helps me grow in my faith. And it hopefully will. But there are people that go to Mass every day. And I'm wondering if it's really a spiritual practice for them. You know, because if you have hatred in your heart, practice. So, why is missing Mass a sin? Because it goes against the clerical, hierarchical church rule. I think we want to break that rule. But, don't ask me to answer the question. Ask yourself. Ask yourself who God is. And you're on vacation this week, and you're going to the beach, Mass. God's probably smiling at you and saying, "Hope you enjoyed your vacation." I used to tell the college students, "I only got 5 minutes." Yeah, I apologize. I talked too much. I used to tell the college students instead, "Don't believe anything your teachers say. Don't believe anything your parents say. Don't believe anything I say." And certainly don't believe anything any other priest tells you. Listen. And then make it your own. Then decide. Okay, the priest up there told me Miss Mass is a sin. The other priest told me Miss Mass isn't a sin. Take a few minutes tonight and meditate tonight. Come up with your own answer. If you think it's a sin, you better get the Mass. If you don't think it's a sin, feel free that when you're in the hospital and you can't get to church, you don't have to go to confession next week. Good. This is the same question. Why do you say that I'm not worthy? Real quick, we only have 2 more minutes. I'm going to say something and everybody's going to be shocked again and say, what the heck is he talking about? Because if we keep telling people they're unworthy, we keep making people codependent on a parental God and a parental church.
Okay.
That's my feeling.
Okay.
And the other feeling is, I am worthy. I know deep down that I am the Son of God. And do I make mistakes? Absolutely. Do I fail to recognize the divine Christ image in my enemy? And people who attack me? Absolutely. I try not to, but I do. It's a natural reaction. Then I try to sit back and try to say, wait, my true self, my divine self, breathe compassion on this person. That's what I try to do. I don't do it all the time. I fail. But I'm worthy. I am God's son. That's the greatest lesson. Now this, who asked this question? You're in trouble. What are your views on contraception? Well, let me just say this. In 1963, I think it was, on the promulgation of for the modern Church of Model Road, County of Expass, the Second Vatican Council, in 1962. In 1962, the Church decided that, my God,
Yes.
Vatican II, that understand what this man is preaching here. This is an emancipation of the doctrine.
Please, please.
We have a catechism.
Yes, yeah.
Got 130 seconds. That's the last one. Why is the water law skewed?
If you want to know what this man is all about, go on the internet. You can follow his whole heresy.
Thank you for coming.
All you novice Ordo folks that are here tonight, and a lot of us are converts in the Bible Belt, you don't know any difference. But the real Catholics here, the ones that ears are perked up, this lady here, she knew what immortal sin is. Hope to see you down the road.
Okay, my last question is why, and we got a lot of questions, thankfully. My last question is why is the water law skewed? And that's a good question. Why is the water law skewed? My mother was an artist. And I'm not sure she went to church every Sunday either. But there's something in me, I'm like a wannabe artist, which I'm not. But I like to fool around. And I like to say, well, you know, what does this look like in the front? What does it look like on the side? And that's why. Once again, there's no theological reason to it. It's just the crazy priest up there trying to take his inner child and make it grow. So it's 8 o'clock. I said 7 to 8 o'clock. I can't thank you all for being here. I'm sorry I talked too much. It's like, how do you have a small group discussion with a larger group? So I hope you don't mind me talking too much. And next week, we'll do the same thing. But I might talk more a little bit about like confession. There's a history to confession in the church. Wasn't always like the way it is. There's, to me, it's a greater emphasis on confession now, and I'm asking why. But anyway, let's conclude with a prayer. Okay. As I said, Mary is the highest honor of the race. Said yes to God and rejoiced in God with her whole being, her whole soul. And so she is the one we follow. Let us pray together. Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.